one of the things that I really don't like is finding bottles of water. It's only had a little sip and somebody just left it in the church somewhere. And you know nobody can drink it, you know? So I was wondering, why do we open up the water and just sip a little bit and tighten it up and just leave it on your seat? Do you think that's really good? I'm up to something, so please be with me, okay? Don't be scared. I'm not on stepping on anybody's foot. So when you look at this bottle of water, what do you see? You see water? Okay, can you lift up your hands and tell me, anyone, tell me what you see? Pastor Francis, what do you see? When you look at this bottle, what do you see? Inside. But this is water, by the way. This is water. This is not something that has been put just inside. So anyone else, what do you see? 3/4 full. Thank you. So somebody else? There's a label on it. Okay, so somebody must have gone to work and created the label. And they put a label around the water, right? So what? Who else? It has a lid. So what else? I mean, there's so many things we can talk about this bottle. What else do you see? It is over? The cover. Yeah, somebody said the cover. Anybody else? Yeah, the fluid is kind of moving. There's plastic here on it, yeah. And the liquid is not full. It is almost empty. The liquid is almost empty. Okay, let me zip it a little bit. How about now? Anybody who can see it? Up to something, so please cooperate with me. Lady Charity, what do you see? That is a wonderful comment. I needed water. No one said that. I needed what I'm drinking. So what else do you see? Grace. It's half, yeah. Half empty or half full? Both. So it is half empty or it's half full? Amen. Okay. I want to bring a message that I call, Whose Report Will You Believe? Okay? Whose report will you believe? Turn to your neighbor, ask them, whose report will you believe? Whose report will you believe? I want us to go into the book of Numbers, chapter 13, and we're gonna jump through a few verses in chapter number 13 of Numbers chapter number 13 and 14. So let us go there. And we are going to read a few verses. And I was so blessed when I read this, and I was asking God, please help me. So Numbers chapter number 13, and we shall read now the first verse, and we shall jump over to verse number 17, and we shall continue. I'll tell you where we are going to read. So Numbers 13, the first verse, first few verses, I believe the first two verses. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the children of Israel. From each tribe of their fathers you shall send a man, everyone a leader among them. We go over to verse number 17. Then Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan, and said to them, Go up this way into the south and go up to the mountains. In other words, Moses is instructing them how they ought to go to the land of Canaan in order to spy it and to check it out. He gave them instructions. Go up this way into the south and go up to the mountains and see what the land is like, whether the people who dwell in it are strong or weak, few or many. Whether the land they dwell is in good or it is bad. Whether the cities they inhabit are like camps or strongholds. Whether the land is rich or poor. and whether they are forests or whether they are not. Now, Moses instructs these people and tells them, be of good courage and bring some of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the season of the first ripe grapes. And so we shall jump out all the way to verse number 26. Now they have gone out and they have checked out the land, and now they've been there for about 40 days, and it is incumbent upon them to come back and bring back the report to the camp, to the Israelites, and to Moses and Joshua and all the people and the leaders thereof. And so verse number 26, the Bible says, now they departed and came back to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. They brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. Seems like the land was good. They actually brought the land just as they were instructed, that if there were grapes, they ought to bring the grapes and the fruit because it was season. And then verse number 27, then they told him and said, we went to the land. Now they're bringing back a report. We went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. So that sounds like a good report, right? Right? Nevertheless, say nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified. In other words, the cities have been protected. They have a wall around them and very large. Moreover, you know, in addition to the nevertheless, moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. The descendants of Anak, they are believed to have originated from the giants. So they are very, very tall people, very strong people. Actually, sometimes I think that the shortest man among them was about 9 feet. So they were really, really tall people and very strong. And so they say this, we saw the sons of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land in the south. The Hittites, the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains. And they gave that report. And then let us jump all to verse number 39. Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and take position, for we are well able to overcome it. Praise the Lord. We are well able to do what? Come on, say it with me. We are well able to overcome it. But the man who had gone up with him refuted him and said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, the land through which we have gone through as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants. Now, before we even proceed, some of these things have not been even verified. These are things that they saw and imagined, that the land which they went through devoured its inhabitants. They have no proof, they have no word that they can bring to prove this, but it is out of fear that they are giving this report. And it continues and says, and all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. There we saw the giants, the descendants of Achan, of Anak, that came from the giants. And we, listen to this, this is what really almost dumbfounded me about what they said. And we were like grasshoppers in our own sight. We were grasshoppers in our own. We were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were to their sight as well. Okay. Let us jump all the way to chapter number 14, and we are going to read the second part of verse number 2. Now, while they gave this report, the children of Israel went into crying and mourning, and they were so disgusted and, you know, so worried about what was going to happen. And so they are fighting, they are crying and complaining against Moses, and, you know, complaining, why did you bring us out of Egypt? Did you bring us here so that we can die under the sword? Why did God bring us out of Egypt into this land where there's no water, where there's no all these things? They started complaining, and almost now they started actually to they instigated a revolt against Moses. And this is now what they are saying in verse number 14, second part of second verse, part B. If only we had died in the land of Egypt, or if only we had died in this wilderness. Why has the Lord brought us to this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should become victims? Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt? So they said to one another, let us select a leader and return to Egypt. Can you believe that's what they said? Let us elect a leader and let that leader check out how we can return to Egypt, and so that we can be slaves where God delivered us with his mighty miracles. Let us select a leader and let him lead us back to Egypt. But Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had spied out the land, tore their coats, and they spoke to all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, the land we passed through to spy out is in an exceedingly good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land that flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land, for they are our bread. Somebody say, they are our bread. Come on, say it like you mean it. They are our bread. Hallelujah. They are our bread. Father, in the name of Jesus, as we sit down and reason with one another regarding this word, I pray that you shall help us to pull out the revelatory word, the rhema word that is in this word, that we may gain understanding, that we apply ourselves to this portion of the scripture and know where we stand. We pray that you shall lead and guide us, and that you shall open up our inner ears, and you shall open up our ears of our understanding, that we may gain understanding, that we may grow and mature in your word. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Now, I would recommend that you read the whole entire chapters of chapters 13 and 14 in order to, for you to gain an understanding of what happened when these people came to a point where they were just about to cross into Canaan, the promised land. They had sojourned throughout the wilderness. And you know, you know, we don't even have to go back. You know how God delivered the children of Israel out of Egypt. And you know how God hardened the heart of Pharaoh. You know the miracles that were wrought upon that land. And you know how much Moses went into travail and following God's guidance to deliver the children of Israel. You remember the plagues that God brought upon the nation of Egypt because of their refusal to let the people of God go. And you know, ultimately, you remember, if you have seen the movie, you've read the scriptures, you see the children of Israel picking up all their belongings and gathering all their people, and they are moving towards the promised land. Amen? And you'd think, just if you were in their community or in their midst, that you have witnessed all these miracles, you have witnessed the hand of God, and you would not easily forget how God came through, you know, for you in order to gain your deliverance out of that land of captivity. And as the Lord led them through the land of, through the wilderness, they complained and they murmured. They didn't have food, but God came through. God rained manna from heaven. In fact, the Bible says that even as they continued to walk, that their shoes never wore out. You know, it was just as they had left Egypt. In other words, God's presence was with these people. And you remember many instances, God comes, causes them even to divide the Red Sea. I mean, it's like constantly God's presence is with these people. And now they are coming to a point whereby they are just minutes away to usher themselves into destiny, into the land of promise, into this land where we read in the beginning of verse number 13, that the Lord God had already decided, and he had already made out his mind that he was going to give them this land. Okay? So, actually I read in the book of somewhere, in the book of Deuteronomy, that it wasn't the Lord's plan for them to go out and spy the land. But God was so gracious as to cooperate with them, just as we read in the book of, we've been studying the book of First Samuel, and I know in our Bible studies, and we saw how God, you know, had rejected the nation of Israel, you know, to have a king. And, you know, they really pestered the Lord, and they pushed their way until the Lord said, okay, if you want a king, then I'm going to let you have a king. And how God cooperates with the children of Israel against their will, not really to show his defeat or his position of lack of obedience, but because he loved the children of Israel so much. He just looked at them and he saw, oh, I wish they know what they're just about to get themselves into. But because I love them so much, and ultimately I have a plan for my people, I will let them have a king. And you know how God even cooperated as far as letting the Spirit of God be upon Saul, whom the Lord didn't have a plan even to enjoin. And you know, God is so merciful. I mean, when you read throughout the scripture, you see God's grace. And you see his unlimited mercy and grace, and how much he loves us. And how much actually sometimes he can come down to our level so that we can understand his heart. Praise the Lord. And he says, okay, if you want to check out this land, I've already decided that I'm giving you this city. I'm giving you Canaan. So all you need to do is march out into Canaan and go ahead and fight, just as I gave you victory over the cities that you fought and, you know, chased out the inhabitants of most cities. That is exactly the same procedure that I'm gonna have you do. You're gonna go there and you're gonna kill the inhabitants of Canaan. You're not gonna kill them by your own power. You're not gonna destroy them out of your own ability, but you're gonna do so by my mighty power. So all you need to do is trust me. All you need to do is, you know that I got you. Amen. It is a comfortable thing to know that God got you. He has your back. Amen. You know, whenever we move along, you know, doing the things that we do every single day, there's nothing as comforting to know that God is leading you, that God is guiding you, that God is kind of swaying you and causing you to avoid entrapments of the enemy. Amen. There's nothing as comforting as that. I don't know about you, but I like when I'm doing something to know that I told God about it and I know that he is leading me. And so sometimes I might get to a point whereby I feel I may be disappointed, but I know that God is working even through what I'm going through at that particular moment. But that ultimately, something good is going to come out of what I'm going through. Praise the Lord. So it wasn't the Lord's plan for them to spy the land. However, the Lord allowed them and spoke to Moses, okay, pick up, you know, every man from every tribe and men that are leaders and who have the ability, and send them out, you know. And so they went out, as we read, and they checked out everything. And you know, we also read about the report that they brought back. Now, I want you to know that out of all these people, there are about how many people are chosen? How many people are chosen out of every tribe? One out of every tribe were chosen. So the about 12 people, right, that were sent out as spies. And Moses gives them instructions, tells them, okay, this is how you need to be of good cheer and courageous, and this is the way you're supposed to go. They go out and check it out. But you know what? Sometimes, as human beings, we can choose to see what we want to see. Amen? Sometimes we can choose to see what we want to see. Because the majority of these people brought back a bad report concerning the land that the Lord had already decided that he was going to give them. Amen. And I was really, really, really focused on what they came to them and said. They said that when we were in that land, we ceased to see ourselves as men of valor. We ceased to see ourselves as God, as men who God had previously used to conquer nations and to conquer cities and to do exploits for God. We cease to see ourselves as so. And in our own eyes, while we were sojourning and spying the city, in our own eyes, we saw ourselves as grasshoppers. grasshoppers. You know what a grasshopper is? A grasshopper. In fact, in the book of Job, I believe somewhere in the book of Job, the Lord through Job compares the strength of a horse to that of a grasshopper. And he says, Lord, unto the one who has made a gallant horse to be of mighty strength, and not as a weakling, and so fearful as a grasshopper. The Lord would have, in other words, Job was saying, the Lord would have made the horse to have the same fearfulness as a grasshopper. So in other words, while they were spying the land, they saw themselves as weaklings. They see themselves as people who God would have mightily used to deliver and conquer the city of Canaan. Hallelujah. And say, and as well, and they said, even on their sight, they imagined and they assumed that the people, the inhabitants of Canaan, while they looked at them, they also saw them as grasshoppers. But how would you imagine? Because sometimes, you know, we can coin things and we can imagine things, you know. Have you ever received a report and then you heard like, okay, this company, maybe the company that you work for, in a few months is going to collapse. And you know, sometimes you receive messages back to back, you know, the enemy tells you, okay, you're going to be fired, and you're going to be, you know, you're going to lose this job, and now you can see now your even house being mortgaged, maybe in foreclosure, you can see yourself in fact, to as far as you can see yourself maybe on the streets begging and wondering what am I going to do, and what am I going to do the other thing. There are all these messages that the enemy sends us to create fear in us. Are you listening to me? That even on their side to us, we also look to them, that when they looked at us, while they had received no word from any one of them, there's no record that there was a report from the inhabitants of Canaan regarding who they were. They said, even for us, to them, we were like grasshoppers. We feared, and even as we walked like we had the grasshopper mentality. We thought that we cannot make it in this land. We were hoping, and we were actually wishing that the 40 days would come so close so that we can return and give the report to the camp of Israel. When God told Moses to pick up these 12 people, he had confidence in them. The Lord wanted them to go there and gather information and bring back a report, a good report that would encourage the people. That would tell the people that, you know what, we went and saw the land. The first report they brought was a good report. For they said, oh, we saw the land. The land was flowing with milk and that was a good report. But they said, nevertheless, the people that we saw in that land were strong and huge, and like they were the sons of them. All 10 of them. Hallelujah. I was just wondering sometimes, what is our inclination towards things that we find? The things that we encounter every day. What is our inclination in our minds? What do we think? When you hear or when you see an opportunity, what is the first thing that lands into your mind? Do you normally say that I can do this through Christ who strengthens me? Or do you have this mentality, oh, I am from Africa, and even in Africa, I'm from the least village, you know, and even from the least of the village, I am the least, even in that village? Have we probably been hampered? Has our progress been prevented and our productivity been hampered just because of the way we saw ourselves? There's a story that was told one time by a preacher. And this is what he was saying, that, you know, a man was walking down the street, and when he found somebody, you know, tilling a land, he asked him, I'm looking for a city that is called XYZ. And this, I want to really and truly, I want to I'm a worshiper. I love worshiping God, and I would like really to go and really get into this city and get into a good church, and I want to go there and worship the Lord. I want there to be go there and be serious with the Lord and be committed in the things of the Lord. Do you know where this is? Yes, because if that city doesn't have the things that I've told you, I don't think I want to go there. And the man directed him, oh, you go up on top of that mountain, you just go below there, you'll find that XYZ city. You'll find there the people there who are very serious, and they worship God, and they're very truly committed to God. And then there's another group that came and said, oh, you know what? And they came along and they said, oh, I'm looking for XYZ, the same city. I'm looking for this XYZ city. And you know what? I really don't care for. I really want to. I'm a crook and I'm a gangster. And I really want to join a gang in that city. I want to do bad things. You know, I want to kill people. I want to destroy things. I want to be in a revolt. I want to do bad things. I want to hijack, you know, people. And I am a crook. I'm vitally used of the devil. And they asked him, do you know that where that city is? And this person told him, oh, you go up the mountain and down there, you will be able to see that city, in the same city that they had directed the previous people. In that city, you still find what you want. What am I saying? I'm saying you can choose to do and to see what you see. Amen? If you want to, you can choose to have a can-do spirit. That, you know what? I am going to be used mightily of God to accomplish my purpose here on earth. You can say so. You can say, oh no, you know, I don't have what it takes. I can't even succeed. I can't even do this because of X, Y, and Z. Whose report are you going to believe today? Are you going to believe the report that you, telling you that, oh, you have tried this before and you failed. So why are you trying it again? You're still going to fail. You know? And many times, let me tell you, there's some of us, there are some of us here who would be somewhere that they are not. They will be somewhere very, very far from where they are today. But the reason why we are still where we are today, it is because you believed a lie from the devil. You believed that you cannot make it. You believed that you could not do it. You believed that you, when you did it and when you took the first step, that you are going to fail. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Are you listening to me? Whose report are you going to receive today? Whose report are you going to believe today? What inclination do you have always when you look at people? What ideas, when you look at a person, do you just make a wholesome judgment regarding somebody? You meet somebody. You know, by the way, we are very good at that. We are able to look at a person and we can make 1 minute conclusion. Actually, a minute is very long. You can look at a person, even before they have said a word, you've already concluded, oh, this one is a loser, I cannot even join him, I don't even think I want to relate myself with this person because, you know, they don't seem like they have any sense of direction. While you can look at another person and say, oh, this one looks like he's really a champion, I want to hook myself with them, even before they have said any word. We're very quick to make conclusions. But what do you see when you see people? What is the first inclination that comes into your mind when you receive an idea? What do you normally see problems instead of possibilities? Are you quick to see giants in your life and in conquests that are just ahead of you instead of victory? Do you see flaws in any idea and say, we are not able, I'm not able to do this? Probably only the pastor is able to do this. Probably only the elders of the church are able to do this. Probably I need to go to a Benny Hinn meeting in order for this to be conquered. Probably I need to meet face to face with the Red Bonke in order for this to be conquered. What comes in your mind when you meet with situations? Hallelujah. Do we put confidence in what people say? There's a saying in our language that says, you know, I don't know how to say this, but I think the Bible also has the same thing, but it says a bad habit corrupts good morals, something like that. What does it say? Bad company, yeah. Bad company corrupts good morals. You might be a good person. You might be diligent. You might be a man of integrity. You might be a person who articulates facts and things and does things the way you're supposed to do. But the moment you hook up with somebody who has a bad character, it's very easy for the bad character to ruin the good person you are. And sooner or later, you can find yourself doing things that you never did. Sooner or later, you can find yourself being in, you know, I mean, even in thinking some things that you're not supposed to do. Why? Because bad company corrupts good morals. How often do we find us putting confidence in the judgment of men when they have the word of God to trust in? You know, in this life, there will be plentiful, difficult situations. It's like every journey that you make in life, Pastor, even as you work where you're working, there are challenges. Sure, you know, tell me, ask anyone here, whatever venture you take in life, there are going to be challenges, right? Right? As long as you're living in planet Earth, Nathan, if today I gave you this microphone to tell us of challenges that you've had in 1 month, maybe you'll be telling us, everybody, maybe you'll be in prayer here wanting to pray for Nathan. And so is every one of us here. If we are to not, you know, open up our hearts and say, oh God, I wish God can come through in this area. I wish God can help me in this area. I wish God can come through in this. In life, there are challenges. Let me tell you, and Jesus said, in this world, you'll have trouble. But cheer up, because I've overcome the world. Praise the Lord. So what are we going to do in the face of difficult situations that we are going to face in our lives? Praise the Lord. What are we going to do? Because they're going to be plentiful. And they're going to be many, even as we sojourn. Praise the Lord. Let me tell you, problems and difficult issues can only be faced with a living faith in God. Amen? With a living faith in God. And that God is capable to help me out, and that He is the only one who has the ability to pull me out of any difficult situations. Away from that, anyone is lying to you. Any venture that you venture, whether you're going to school, whether you're going to work, there has to be an existence of living and active faith in God. That God, I am desperate. You gotta come and deliver me in this situation. Amen? No matter how anybody can encourage you, no matter how anybody can come in your way, there has to be a living, active faith in God that believes totally in Him. That God, I'm abandoned in your presence. Please come and help me. Because He is the only one who knows everything in your life. He is the Alpha and He is the Omega. He is the beginning and the end. Hallelujah. He is the one who has your blueprint. Told you this before. He has my blueprint. He knows how my life is going to be 3 years from today. He knows how my life is going to be 5 years from today. And He knows whether I'm still going to be here or maybe I'm going to be with Him. He knows your future. So we have to have and be determined that, you know what? I am going to have this unyielding belief in God, that God, no matter what, whether you tarry, whether the situation tarries, that I'm not going to move from your presence. Amen? Just like Jacob. Jacob just stayed with the Lord. Say, I cannot leave you to go. I cannot let you to go until you have blessed me. You know? And eventually, God really blessed. You know, they wrestled. He's the only man that is recorded in the Bible that wrestled with God, wanting to receive a blessing from the Lord. And you know, eventually, the Lord actually knocked him out. But even as he limped, he said, I'm a blessed man. I better be limping, but I know I'm blessed. I better be knocked out by the issues of life, but I know that God was with me. I came out alive, I was limping, but God is still with me. I may not really have been seeming like I have a sense of direction, but I know God is leading me somewhere. I know God is with me. He won't leave me. He will never forsake me. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to Jesus. An unyielding belief. But God is not going to let you down, folks. Amen. And this was a problem with the children of Israel. It was a sin of unbelief. That when they saw them, when they were in the sojourn, when they went to spy out the land, there was a spirit. And this is how the devil even works out today. The devil knows the capability that you have. He knows what you are capable of doing. There's so much potential in each one of us. Amen? The Bible talks about Elijah just like a light man like me, Mom. You know, he says Elijah was a guy like us. Yet he spoke to the heavens and said, let there not be rain. And there was with, the land was without rain for how many years? Huh? There wasn't any rain for how many, for how long? And then what happened when, after at this period, what did he do? He said, okay, now, I thank God. The same God that I prayed to that there won't be any rain, I'm coming to you again. Lord, let there be rain. And there was, you remember the story of how he, the story of him and how he, they were chasing, they were running because he heard the sound of the rain. That man is the same as you are. And you can command your situations, you can command any situation in your life that is refused to go and say, God, I am not living here until you bless me. I am not living here until I see a solution. I'm not living here, Lord, because I know that you will never forsake me. You will never leave me. Do you know in life there's some stubborn problems that linger long? Their problems can even can linger even longer than your life. But you know what? It is better you die believing. Yeah? It is better you die believing. You know, God, if I die having not, I am still believing that you will come. I am still believing that you come through. And who knows? Maybe my son will come after me. I saw my dad really believing in God. And therefore, this problem has to go. And maybe the first month after you have gone to heaven, the Lord will tell you, oh, you know the thing that you have prayed for all your life? I just dispatched it the moment you got here. How would you like that? That issue that you have been praying for all your life, just before you set foot on this golden patch that you're standing on, I just dispatched the answer. It's better you die believing. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory be to Jesus. It is very easy for the devil to come and make us feel like we are grasshoppers, like we are weaklings and that we cannot do anything. Hallelujah. But you know what? Among these 10 people, among these 12 people that were sent, there were two people that had a good report. And their names were Caleb and Joshua. What do you think? What difference did these two guys have? You could say maybe Joshua. Joshua was an accomplice of Moses. And so, you know, if he worked in the White House, he had better bring a good report, you know, so that you can look better even before the eyes of the president. And you can say that. But there's Caleb. Caleb comes and says, and he quietens the people. When Caleb went there, his eyes chose not to see the giants. His eyes chose not to see oppression. His eyes refused to see these inhabitants that the land devours its inhabitants. Amen? He chose to have a different mentality. Hallelujah. And I dare for us to be like Caleb. I dare for us to be like Joshua. When they went to spy the land, they came holding. And you know what Caleb says? Right now and right now, let us go and possess. You know what? He never said, let us go and conquer. No. That's not what he said. You know, there's the difference between conquer and there's a difference between possess. There's something that Caleb knew about. He knew that if the Lord had said, oh my God, let me tell you, man, if you know this idea, you will quit worrying about many things. Because in the beginning of verse number 13, the Bible said the Lord had declared that he had given this city to us. And so when Caleb went and saw the giants, he saw the giants like the 10 others. He saw the giants. He saw the sons of Anak. Ah, he was with them. And he saw all these things that were in there. He saw these large people. But when he came back, he had a different report. He knew. He said, these people are just our bread. Oh my God. These people are just but our bread. Because why? When I go into Canaan, if I am said to go and conquer Canaan, I am not going there by my power, but I'm going there by the power of the Almighty God. And therefore, God will cause them to be my bread. Let me tell you today, whatever you are facing, God can cause your enemies to be your bread. And bread is there to be eaten. Your enemies can become your food. Oh my God. Whatever you see, it is conquerable if God is going with you. And this is the mentality that Caleb had. He said, oh, let us go right now. Let us go in and jump and possess this land. Why? Because the Lord had spoken. My God. How sad that your dreams have been shortchanged by the opinions of people. People can shortchange your, short-circuit your dreams, short-circuit your accomplishments and things that have been set for you. People's opinions. And that's why it's very important to know who you share your thing with. You know, don't just, you know, share your dreams with every Tom, Dick, and Harry, because some of them are not even intended to know what God's dream or God's plan concerning your life is, because they can be Sanballats and Tobiases in their life. Are you listening to me? In every battle and in every conquest, there has been opposition that has been created by the enemy. Even in the rebuilding of the walls of Jerusalem by Nehemiah, remember that there were peoples that rose up to oppose him. Amen. And then let me tell you, can I give you some information? Just as it was then, it is the same. That is new information that you need to say, click and enter. Because just as it was then, there are people lined up today. Men, if God opens up your eyes, those people that you think are your friends, and God opens up your spiritual eyes and see the things that they think about you, about your failure, and how you should not even succeed, and how you should not even be driving the car that you drive, how you should not actually be working where you work, that if they have the ability, they can go talk to your boss so that you can be fired. I am telling you the truth. If God would open up your eyes, you'd say, oh my God, is that the real thing? You know, there was a pastor who used to be here, Pastor Francis Murefu. He used to tell us, I wish God can open up our eyes of understanding, that we may see the battles that are there for us. Amen? There are many battles that the Lord, really, if we would open up our eyes, we would consistently be fighting. Amen? And so, this report that was brought, the people, their opinions and their dreams and their opportunity was short-circuited by a bad report among their leaders. Oh my God. They started crying and wailing and even creating a revolt. Can you imagine how bad it can be that you have seen the deliverance? God's idea. The Lord, it says in my language, God help us, that they have seen the deliverance of the Lord throughout this time. And then now they say, can we are tired of seeing this Moses. He God used him mightily, but now they are saying, we are tired. Why? He brought us here so that we can die in the wilderness. Can we choose another leader who can take us back to Egypt where there was pumpkins and there was, we had food and plenty in Egypt? They even forgot the labor that they were going through. They even forgot that they were secluded and they were completely enclosed in and they could not do anything. And now they're choosing for a leader who can take them back to Egypt. You've been in that position where you felt, even after God has delivered you and brought you so far. No, God broke so many barriers in order for you to be in a beautiful country called the United States of America. Eh? Can I tell you something? Hello, hello. Hint, hint, because sometimes we forget. You still complain even today. You complain about everything about your job. You complain about your boss. You complain about the hours, the odd hours that you work. You even hate almost everybody. You don't want to see them. You complain about how the highways are so congested. This 635, Shindwe, the first time I've used it. This 75. You complain literally about everything. Until now, you've become a body that complains in everything. You forget where God took us out of. You didn't even have a bicycle. You had to walk almost 5 miles on a road that was not even paved. It had never seen, you know, paved road here, by the way. It is a paved road, you know. Paved, it's a tarmac. But during those days, you had to walk miles and climb up mountains so that you can go even to school. Some of us didn't even have shoes to go to school. Some of you had cracks. Actually, you would actually maybe put You know, you had cracks on your feet so large that a penny would go through inside. You forgot about now. It is so shiny and oily, you know. Some of us had jiggers. You know, you used to walk like this. And you even forgot the way you used to walk. You know, and actually you thought it was a style. And when people looked at you, you know, you walked like this. And that was your style because of jiggers. You forgot all that. You know. You forgot that you slept you didn't even have a mattress. You used to sleep on the floor. You woke up in the morning, you felt like somebody really put a 2x4 thing, hit you so hard on the night, and you're waking up going like this, like you are injured or you have paralysis. Kumbe ulilala ukama umegongwa, ulilala kwa simiti. Not simiti, you didn't even know simiti, what simiti was. You slept on the floor. Some of us, our eyes were so red because of smoke. It is now that, you know, the climate in America has really tried to remove the redness. And yet we complain. Do you know how many people would want to be where we are? Do you know how many people would just, you know what? They can even want to stick on 635 for 48 hours later. What I can't do? Mimi. If I'm here and I'm in a car, even if the jam is 48 hours, as long as I'm in a car, you want the traffic to zoom. What are these people doing? Why is this all this congestion? Why is all this? Why is this fruit woman? They're expired. What happened? Do you know I was telling you about this water? Do you know when I started with, I told you, who wants to share with this water with me? If I go to Turkana today with this bottle of water, and I told them, who wants to share the water of me? Let me tell you, people will be cramming to come and kill each other in front of me so that they can share this bottle of water with me. Some of you looked like me like, Pastor, are you okay? But the Turkana people would not say, am I okay? They would say, oh, thank you, Pastor. They would come like, thank you. I want to share. There's drought in Kenya right now. There's drought in many places in Kenya. Some of them don't even have any water. But what do you see today? Do you see that you are so blessed, so immeasurably blessed, that God has really provisionally given you plentiful, that some of you even choose, when you go to Walmart, you choose, do I take skim milk? Do I take whole milk? Do I take blue milk? Do I take skim milk? No, this, I'm losing weight. I want to take skim milk. Let me tell you. There are people who are drinking, almost going to the Mokamo Angobe, you know, like it. And actually, some of the cows don't even have any milk right now. You know, they are just feeding the cows. There's no milk. Some of them are surviving on strong tea. Turug. That's why we called it Turugi, strong tea. You wonder where that name came from? It is Turugi, strong tea. It's Turugi. That's why they call it Turugi, because there's no milk. Brothers and sisters, can we appreciate where the Lord has brought us? Can we encourage somebody who is in a problem? Can we be an agent of change to people who are suffering? Can God for once use us to be men and women who can deliver good report and can encourage a soul that is downcast? Just because of 10 men of their irresponsibility, God decided, he was so wroth with them. What am I going to do with these people? Please, you know what? None of them. He said, none of them, except Caleb and Joshua. Oh, man. None of them is going to set foot in Canaan. Only their children. Every one of them, I'm going to let them die in the wilderness. And their carcasses are going to be spread out in the wilderness. Think about this. And for every day, listen, the Bible says, if you read it in chapter number 14, for every single day that they spent spying the land of Canaan, wanting for me, with a desire for them to bring a good report, I'm going to cause there to be 1 year of suffering for them. So 40 years in total, just because of a bad report. Think about this. Causing a generation actually to die in the desert because of a bad report. Are you in a position for God to use you to bring me a good report today? What do you see when you look at me? Rachel, what do you see when you look at me? You see, Pastor, what do you see? What do you see when you look at another brother or another sister? What do you see? Do you see them that God can use them mightily? That you can encourage them to conquer their mountain? Do you know God uses another person to help another person? God can manifest himself as an angel to help another. Actually, to be honest with you, ma'am, the Lord can manifest himself bodily. He came through Jesus. He was God incarnate to come and save you. So God can come and manifest himself to come and save you or deliver you out of your situation. But God uses another person to deliver you. It is his power through another person. It could be maybe words that, you know what, brother, what you're going through. I went through this. You know what? It was 1 year painful. You know, I didn't have even any money. In fact, collections, my phone, the database on my phone was just collectors trying to get their money. So if I went through this, you can also do the same. Encourage another brother who doesn't have any work. You know, tell them it is okay. What can I do? What kind of work do you do? I thank God for the brothers and sisters we have here in the church. When they learn somebody doesn't have a work, they call people who can really connect up with somebody. That's what we need to be doing. We are supposed to be our brother's keepers. We are supposed to be our sister's keepers. Not to just backbite and stab each other on the back so that you're seeing brothers and sisters, you know, bleeding on the back. You know, they're just going and they're not even aware that they're bleeding, you know. It's because somebody, a brother and a sister, stabbed them instead of helping them. We're supposed to carry the bandage. Oh, my brother, I see somebody stabbed you here. Oh, you know, professionally, I'm a nurse too. You clean up the wound, you know, so I pray for you, my brother. And you take the bandage and you, you know, nicely, not, you know, harassing him. You bandage him nicely and you tell him, my brother is going to be okay and may you heal well. You be a good Samaritan. That's what the good Samaritan did, right? What do you choose to see? Choose to see church. Let us be of good cheer. Amen. Our time is so much gone. Maybe before we get to the next topic, maybe we'll conclude. I really wanted to give you the traits of the 10 spies and the traits of Joshua and Caleb. But I feel this is enough for us today. Amen. What do you see in people? What do you see in yourself? Has whatever you have thought down on yourself maybe hampered your progress? Amen. If God tells you that you want to become a CEO. You know, I was reading about some stories about the billionaires today. Like Oprah Winfrey. You see that black lady? She's worth the billions. But she was raised by a poor, poor single mother. You know? God presented a chance for her just to do broadcasting. Like what you're doing, Sister Grace. You know, by the way, I saw your profile picture and I said, oh my God, this is the next billionaire. Get what you... Whatever you, let me tell you, you know what? You can be an us today, but you can push it to the next level. You know, I can own an agency. You hire people. Why not? Why are you looking at me like you got here? I said, why not? It can happen, right? You can own a company too. By the way, you know, the America system is very good. Anybody can make it. If you want to know how to, you can incorporate a company and you don't know how to do it, see me today after this. I will show you how you can have an LLC. Okay. You can start your business today. You can start selling merchandise. You know why I'm saying this? Because if God's hand is upon what you set to do, and you know that God is in it, because you're seeing the capability, you're seeing that you can do it, God can cause people to come from wherever to come and buy your merchandise, to come and do the thing that God has set for you to do. Are you listening to me? Do not have a grasshopper mentality that, oh, I cannot have this, I cannot have the other. I said, wow, if this guy was a billionaire, this guy was in a foster home. In fact, I was reading of another billionaire story, maybe I'll read that next week, that he used to sleep in a car. Walifukuzwa nyumba. In fact, he went to a foster home for many, many other homes. And then somebody just invited him to go and, you know, in a factory to mold, you know, like the cell phone cases. He molded for about a year and said, whatever this factory is doing, I can start mine in a small scale. And he started seeking advice of how he can mold also his own. Later, he became the CEO. He started a company doing the same thing. He didn't reinvent the wheel. Soon and later, he found his business growing. Today, he's a multi-billionaire. molding cell phone cases. Multi-billionaire. He was sleeping in a car. Have you ever slept in a car? Well, you can tell me, maybe you slept on the floor. I can understand that, but since you came here, have you slept in a car? Have you been homeless? Have you been in foster home? You live nicely, right? You're blessed, right? Say, I'm blessed. Stand on your feet. We want to pray. God, release us. Praise the Lord. Amen. Choose what to see. This thing is in me, man. I tell you. I choose what to see. I choose to see me being great. I choose to see not being mediocre, a grasshopper, having grasshopper mentality, being defeated. I choose to be one who sends a good report, telling people that you can make it. You have what it takes to make it. Amen? Hallelujah. You can live whatever you want to live. Whatever you want to live. You can drive whatever you want to drive. You can drive a Mercedes. I thank God for Pastor Julius. You can drive. You can live in a good neighborhood. Hallelujah. Amen? Because those people who conquered, they are just men like us. It is only, the only difference is that they see things. They see the possibility of everything. So we can also choose to see the possibility of everything. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, even for this. Father, I pray according to the text that we read here today, we shall not be carriers of bad report. We shall not be in a bad company. We shall not actually be the bad company, but we shall be people who are producers of good report. People who are energizers. People who are willing to lift somebody who is in a quagmire, in the name of Jesus. And I pray going forward, Lord, that none of us will be people who will be used by the enemy to pull people down. But we shall be carriers of good report. We shall be people who are encouragers. We shall be people who will tell other people that you can make it. In the name of Jesus, no matter where you have come from, no matter your background, no matter your race, no matter where your history, you know, tells you about you, that you can make it in the name of Jesus. And I pray that you shall shift our mentality, that you shall cause us to see things differently in the name of Jesus. Lord, you never brought us out of wherever we came from into this beautiful nation to complain. And we want to be grateful over any little thing that you've done for us. Even being in this country, it is a privilege. We shall not talk against this nation. We shall be carriers of good report. We shall pray even for the administration and the president and anybody that is in authority. In the name of Jesus, this country has, through you, our destiny. We can become whatever we want to become in this nation through your hand. In the name of Jesus. Lord, we declare and decree that we shall possess greatness. That our children will never be failures. That our children will be partakers of greatness in America. In the name of Jesus. Sickness and disease is not our portion. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our mentality is changing. And it will be like the great minds of men who have made it in this country. We also can have an American dream. In the name of Jesus. We refuse to see ourselves as people see us. Lord, and we refuse to see ourselves even as grasshoppers. We are great partakers of great wealth in the name of Jesus. Lord, we if you can make everybody wealthy in this church. Oh God, one service. Actually, have a service would just be enough to give all the money that we need for our sanctuary. In the name of Jesus, you're making us wealthy. And you're making us also generous givers to the work of the kingdom. We shall not be hoarders. We shall not be konobirika. We refuse. In the name of Jesus, we shall stretch out our hands to give those that I need. In the name of Jesus. Father, give us a create in us a new mind and a new spirit in our lives to the glory and honor of your name. We are successful. We are victorious. We are more than conquerors. In the name of Jesus. Father, we shall be our brother's keeper, our sister's keeper, in the name of Jesus. We shall do whatever it takes to protect one of us to the glory and honor of your name. Father, as we disperse today, disperse us with your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Somebody who believes that, say amen. Hallelujah. Give him a hand of praise. Go ahead and give him a hand of praise. He is worthy. He is worthy. Amen. Amen.